We'd like to introduce Marcia Schaefer, and she is the wife of Robert Dean, as well as a writer and professional. What would you call yourself?
I'm actually an MBA business consultant, but I work in dual worlds because I also use my psychic abilities as well as my business expertise to help clients. But I always bring in the extraterrestrial component because we can't shy away from it, and it has a lot to do with our future.
Uh-huh. And you've written a book, and the name of the book is?
I wrote Confessions of an Intergalactic Anthropologist, and much to my surprise, I was totally astonished that it went around the world, was read in 15 countries, and won an award, and I never wanted to do anything with it. I never advertised it or anything. I just wanted to hide it away, and just on its own, it walked around. Quite popular.
And did you write this after you were in a relationship with Robert Dean?
Before.
Uh-huh.
Before, yeah.
So can you tell us, you know, a little bit about yourself, how you started out with your contact experiences?
I've had contact since I was in the crib, so it's been with me my entire life. But I was born in the late 50s, so there was no way to define or understand what was happening. As I grew up, you know, the only thing available to someone like myself was Rod Serling. And the night, you know, Twilight Zone, Outer Limits, and trying to figure out how could this possibly be happening to me when society says it doesn't even exist, it's not real. It was very difficult for me to reconcile and even interpret all of my experiences that I had. So what I did is I just put it away into a box and just kept it there and went forward living as much of a normal life as possible until decades later I was able to take it out and put it in context and not only admit to myself what had been going on, but begin to look at it with totally new eyes and totally new understanding.
So, and my understanding is that you're sort of contact experiences were conscious, fully conscious.
They're fully conscious, and that's one of the things I like to get across to people, because as we go forward and look at the extraterrestrial reality, a lot of the information that is seeping into society is based on people who have researched it or people who have interviewed someone who's been abducted, quote unquote, but it's very different than what we have available to us as information. I've had contact with many different races throughout my lifetime. And when it's conscious and it's as real as me being as close to you as we are now, mm-hmm. It's not quite what people think. And a lot of times people will think, oh gosh, you know, it's just like going down to Starbucks and having a coffee. It isn't. So what I've done is I've tried to prepare people for the reality of it. Not only the reality of it, but the implications for us as a society as we go forward and we get ready to meet our nearest relatives and our friends in the cosmos and what this means to us as human beings and how we need to change our lives. Because I am fully confident that during our lifetime, this is going to take another leap in exposure and be much more integrated into our society.
So do you believe, or have you been given information in regard to 2012 and to this transition we're now undergoing?
2012 has taken on a lot of media hype, and it means many things to many people. And I want to give you a very quick, pat answer, but it's not quite that quick, because one of the things that I've learned through my experiences and being in training with these other races is that our understanding of time and space is very limited and very different from the reality of it. It's a very infantile type of science that we have. What will potentially befall us in 2012 is something that's going to sound outside the scope of reality for most people. But one of the things that we have yet to embrace is that we could potentially be facing different outcomes and different futures for different people on the planet. We tend to think that as a collective here, we're going to have the same journey. What they have helped me to understand is that a certain population of the planet may go down one pathway as your time unfolds and your species continues to grow and have a certain outcome and certain experiences. But time is so different from what you experience it and what you understand it to be that there could be a second population group that could have a totally different outcome and go on to a different type of reality, and a third one that could go on to another reality. So it's very different from people saying, oh, 2012. And I get asked about this a lot based on what I do. What I try to remind people is that no matter what happens to us, you're here along for the ride. And so it's important to make the most of today and make a difference in your life and in someone else's life too. Mm-hmm. Because, well, you and I may not be doing this, but there are groups of people who are thinking, major cataclysm, head for the hills, how do I prepare? Listen, you've been born, lived, and died before, and you're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. So why live for death? Live for life. So 2012, I do believe, too, is going to be a new beginning. But I think that there are some people who may go and face some catastrophic environmental types of situations, as is predicted. I think there are other people who just may go on, and the society will advance as a more technologically oriented species. And there may be another pathway yet for others, too. I think by that time, following up on some of what we're talking about earlier, is that ideally, hopefully, we will have some revelation as to our real place in the cosmos by then. There are usually three steps that are undertaken when a planet starts to undergo disclosure, that they're not the only race in a large, large field of life. Mm-hmm. And we've undergone one already. There's three steps that are usually taken is that the first one is that there are other worlds out there when a planet has been isolated. And as you've seen over the past few years, there's been scientific revelations of, oh my goodness, look at this. There are other solar systems, there are other planets just like Earth. There's quite a bit out there. The second phase, and when the second phase comes, you will know you're very close to revelation. The second phase that usually happens during the indoctrination period is that there will be evidence of a prior civilization on another planet that no longer exists. So that you will see that your scientists will come back and say, oh my goodness, there was life on Mars. We found evidence of an ancient civilization. What that does is that breaches the shock for people of having to deal with life out there apart from themselves, an intelligent civilization, but it's not there now, so that's okay. Soon after that, there'll be, whoops, guess they're still there. So we on the planet Earth, because we've been isolated, we tend to think that this has never happened before, even people who are well enmeshed in the extraterrestrial reality. But the reality is that there are other planets, just like us, who have had to be brought up to speed, who have lived isolated in their own reality for long periods of time. But when the time comes that they join the cosmic community, the beings, those who work to do this, are well experienced. They know what they're doing. So, you know, we've had evidence of people flying, seeing flybys and the population experiencing contact more and more and more as it's becoming inculcated into the culture. But that's usually the three steps you'll see for disclosure.
Okay. And if you were going to summarize what you think your mission is, and I assume that you have sort of an overall concept of why you're here at this time, what would you say it is?
Well, for me, I think it's important that people are able to understand themselves better so that they can understand who they are in context of reality in the universe. And if I can offer to people based on my own experiences that, yeah, this is real, it does happen, there are normal, everyday people who still live very grounded, practical, and useful lives in society who have experienced contact and can tell you what it's like for other races to be out there, what the sensations are, what some of the intercultural implications are, and depending upon if you've had the opportunity for the curriculum, some of the things that they've taught you or will teach you, that it's there and it's okay and there's no need to be afraid of it. So I think based on my background, which is highly academic, I have a scientific medical background, a research background, and a lot of credentials, that it makes it easier for people to say, well, look at her. She's one of us. She's pretty normal. I've had people surprised that I didn't come out in New Age garb or wearing crystals or howling at the moon, chanting the Star Trek song and say, come forward. That makes it more acceptable to the average person, and they're willing to listen. Because when I usually speak, it's to mainstream audiences. It's not the person you're going to find at a UFO crowd. Not that they wouldn't be averse to it. It's just not within their sphere of reality. But they're curious, and they want more information. Mm-hmm. My concern is that there's so much misinformation because we don't have this as part of our culture. We don't have it as part of our schooling. You can't really pick up the Encyclopedia of Extraterrestrial Contact and know that it's valid. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is to indoctrinate them into the worlds and get them ready for how this is really going to change our world socially, our lifestyles, our culture. And particularly what I do is I target business entrepreneurs for the space revolution, which is already here. And, you know, we've got Richard Branson, many of the high-tech thrillionaires, as they're been termed, who have invested heavily in space commercialization. So as we go out on a business enterprise and an entrepreneurial spirit, we can't go out there without seeing who's out there. It's inevitable, too.
So you're saying that you've had dealings, I'm assuming, with some of these entrepreneurs?
Not the ones that I just, not that one at that level, but I work with private entrepreneurs and getting them ready, their strategic plans, getting them ready for how to reposition for all the multiple opportunities that will be there when we re-embrace space travel and our role in it. Okay. And this is the Sutter's Mill of our generation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's great. It's actually very nice to meet someone who's involved in that. Can you name any particular people or interactions that you've had that would sort of make what you do a little more clear to the audience?
I have to sign, there's a confidentiality contract that is always
okay.
Well done. But on my internet, there are people who have been willing to give testimonials and that have put their name up there, but there's nobody really big that you would recognize.
Bob Dean and Marcia Schaefer together on camera for, I don't know, maybe the first time.
Probably, yes.
And we're just dying to know something about how you guys met and kind of what went mm-hmm. on there, because you're two obviously very, very aware beings, and it must have been fascinating for you to be in contact with each other.
There was immediate recognition. We talk about the soul and memories, and the first time I saw him, my first words to him were, I had no idea you were alive and on Earth at this time.
That's fabulous.
He said, I didn't know you were here either. I mean, there was immediate recognition. And we remember many of our lifetimes together and joke around, do you remember back in Sumer when you did this? Or do you remember back in this time? And I was like, oh, please. Yeah. So there's a great familiarity. It was like, oh, you know, just starting all, it wasn't starting all over again. It was just picking up where we left off.
I had a series of hypnotic past life regressions some years ago, which I think in a major way probably contributed also to the end of my first marriage. Because once you go through that's like almost a UFO contact or an abduction experience. Incidents, a TV show or a movie or a book that I'm reading will trigger these remembrances of things past. And first time I met this young lady, I'm sitting in my kitchen, and I thought, oh, geez. I had recognized her.
Okay, that's enough about that.
No, I'm serious. I recognized her from another time and another place.
Yeah, well, he was a dear old friend. One of the things that's really intriguing is, during the course of my experience with extraterrestrial reality, when I was very young, one of the first things that they had to make sure I understood was that we are an eternal soul. So what they did was they began to take me to see my other lifetimes, which was quite shocking. You know, I saw myself as a slave in ancient Egypt. I saw myself as a young initiate and being eviscerated when the king's soldiers came, the pharaoh's soldiers actually at that time, came in and took us, you know, being walking down a pathway in Africa and being eaten by a leopard. But what it did is it allowed me to know that, hey, I'm still here. I'm still here, you know, and in a different form. So it's very important for us to understand life as an ever-going, continuous cycle. And what it does is it allows you to live life without fear. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot live life if you fear death. You just can't embrace it and take your opportunities. And when it's something stares you in the face, if you're afraid, you won't step up to the plate. So it's intriguing that from the extraterrestrial perspective and those who came and worked with me so that I would understand things later as I grew up, that was one of their first priorities, was to do that. And what I was left with, intriguingly, is now I can look at someone immediately. Not only do I have total recall of my own other lifetimes, but I can look at someone immediately in a picture or in reality, and I can see all their other journeys that have impact on this one. Mm-hmm. And tie it all together for them as to why they're here now.
So that must really help you in your work.
Tremendously, tremendously. Because it gets right down to the soul issue of what's it all really about. Everything else is just extraneous, but what are you learning from the situation? Or what have you still to learn from a leftover situation? You know, what matters is who we are here and what we're doing now, and people can get really caught up in, I call them other lifetimes because they're not really past. There really isn't a past, present, and future. It all goes on in different levels simultaneously. But the fact of the matter is that some of these other lifetimes have tremendous bearing on who we are now and what we're doing and everything that happens professionally and personally.
People to grasp that at this moment, in this time and place, that you are the sum total of everything you've ever experienced, every life you've ever lived, all the good and all the bad, going all the way back to the beginning, whatever the beginning was. But at this moment, you are a sum total of all of that. Mm-hmm. And that you learn that there is a cosmic law known as karma, and that what you sow, you reap. And it's not a pain punishment, it's not, you know, sending you to jail, or you're going to give you a rotten life because you were a rotten person in another time. It's the cosmic law of karma is real. And if people could grasp that they are the source of everything in their own lives. God, what a world that could be, huh?
But that's taking self-responsibility, and a lot of people still don't want to do that.
Oh, responsibility, of course.
Yeah.
Most people don't even know what the word means, let alone assuming it.
Those are very wise words, actually, from, you know, from both of you.
I mean, well, look at us. I mean, this is an unlikely couple.
You know? No, but what we see is weird, you know?
But what we see in each other is the soul. These are body bags. These are just temporary issues. And, you know, we see and remember the soul.
She caused me a lot of trouble in Sumer about 5,000 years ago.
He brought it on himself. Blaming.
So you must have wonderful, wonderful conversations that involve all these multi-dimensions.
We do. I always say this would be the ultimate reality show if there were ever cameras recording us in our home. The Osbournes would have nothing on us.
You know, I don't come often. I really am a coward when it comes to incarnating on a planet Earth. Mm. You know, I've heard, and you've probably heard, that it's a common word that if you can come and planet Earth and get through a life or two here, you get a graduation certificate because you have concluded one of the most difficult schools in the universe. Mm. Planet Earth is apparently known throughout the galaxy as a rough school. Uh-huh. So I don't come often. I came reluctantly the last time. Mm. And let me tell you, I'm going to be damned reluctant the next time. I'm not going to be coming back anytime soon. I only come back, you know, every couple thousand years, maybe.
So he says.
No, I'm telling you about my memories. My last vivid memory was in the 13th century as a Templar. Mm. And that was, you know, that's caused me a lot of pain and trouble right there. And the time before that was 2,000 years ago. And before that was 5,000 years ago. So I don't come very often. They have to drag me in creaking and screaming, so to speak.
Well, it's fabulous to see both of you together, to talk to both of you. It's been wonderful. It's been stimulating and entertaining, and I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
It's been fun.
fighting.
Okay. So,
I don't know. I can just pick it up.
But you need to label it.
Like we're watching ourselves.
No, but we might as well be.
It's like I'm watching us.
Yeah, okay.